I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey, film sackers, enjoy restaurant-quality meals for less in the comfort of your own home. HelloFresh's gourmet recipes like balsamic fig sirloin are over 72% cheaper than the average restaurant meal, according to Zagat's Dining Survey. It's great cooking with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, and they're offering you 12 free meals, including free shipping when you go to HelloFresh.com/FilmSack12 and use the code FilmSack12. And by ExpressVPN. Thanks for supporting FilmSack. If you believe your data is your business, secure yourself. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/FilmSack and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package.
We agreed that my boxer would fight an 800-pound steer for $3,000. Am I right?
Yes, sir, we did. Yes,
that
sir.
Bull is like 2,000 pounds.
Right. Okay, well, Charlie, I'll tell you something. Your bot don't fight. You don't get paid. Woo!
I told you I hate hamburgers.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 511. 511. Ooh. What's the color? Amber's the color of your energy. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, I introduce you to the ambush Dunaway.
Take the ambush. Take it real good. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the night? Does Hugh Jackman slide into your bed and spoon you while you sleep? Do you experience feelings of dread in your dead father's gym? Have you or your family ever seen the films Rocky, The Iron Giant, or that one episode, The Twilight Zone? The answer is yes. Then don't wait another minute. Just pick up the phone and call the professionals. Film Sack. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your Rock'em Sock'em robot movie needs. We're ready to believe in you. And remember, champions aren't born. They're made. Courage is stronger than steel, and if you got one shot, make it real. God, those are all real marketing taglines in this week's movie. Who wrote these? A 9-year-old and a wife beater? What? They were 11. Yeah, well, still terrible. All right. Somebody hand me a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper, a dirty shirt, and a burrito. I'm programmed for pain and ready to sack this movie. Not yet! Almost forgot. I have to turn on the windshield wipers for my feet in my 2020 butt hauler slash mobile home for losers, as predicted by a film from 2011. But why does my vehicle even have a window for my feet? You can't see my face in this thing, but my feet are totally visible. They even have wipers. My feet don't need to see, rain or no. That's a job for my face. All right, I'm ready. Not yet. Hey, is this burrito shaped like a hamburger? Are you sure this is not a hamburger's? All right, I'm ready. Wait for it. Not yet. Robot Rocky, go. Randy?
you. I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed he said hamburgers wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Freaking hamburgers. Do another take with that kid. He's not going to be around long. Get him another take. All right. Well done. Also with us, Randy, Wolverine, the Wasp, Young Thor, and the Falcon, and the Blob are in this. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, and everyone else who sat quietly through that Alexi Murdoch song that made you want to buy a Ford truck and drive it down a country road. Speaking of things that have nothing to do with the story, thank you for coming to this reading from my new book, How to Find an 11-Year-Old Who's Better at Complicated Professional Pursuits Than Adult Professionals. When you read it, you're going to learn my three rules for finding a magic child. Number one. Always go for an orphan. The more recently orphaned, the better. Losing a parent at a young age has no negative effects on a child. Number two, get your orphan involved in your schemes as quickly as possible. The nice thing about children is they almost never need to sleep or eat or study for school. They're 100% uptime, or close to it. They do have to spend a small amount of time turning down hamburgers. Number three, and this is the most important thing, treat the kid like shit. Even when he magically learns everything the adults have spent decades learning in a matter of days, just because he wants to be loved, do not give him that love. Love is for losers, and we're only making winners here. Uppercut.
Voice activated, fighting robot begin. All right. With us finally, Brian, first rule of Cliff Club is don't keep standing on the cliff when someone tells you you're on a cliff ibbot.
This is so true. Cliff. By the way, Tony Stark's mom also in this movie.
Oh!
Thank you all for coming, as we remember Carolyn Fowler. Yes, mother, sister, ex-girlfriend who for some reason gave her son her ex-boyfriend's last name, and founder of the Smashburger Empire. It was her devotion to her career that nearly drove a wedge between her and her son Max, and we can only guess how that's going to affect him going forward. And while her love for Smashburger nearly caused her tragic and sudden death, it was her trust in hydrochloroquine because, hey, this movie takes place in 2020. Anyway, let's move on to the reading of the will. I, Carolyn Fowler, being of sound mind and body, declare this to be my legal and final will and testament. To my sister, Deborah, I leave my swimming pool, my hot tub, and a collection of really cool toys. Do you like to play with toys? We've got really cool toys. It is my wish that if something were to happen to me, she and her crypt keeper of a husband should spend the summer in Tuscany, where I got the idea for Smashburger oh so many years ago. I leave the rest of my estate, the Smashburger line of franchises, and the zoo I purchased to my current boyfriend Kingpin. Secret current boyfriend Kingpin, so he can work on his mohawk and get medical attention for his overly productive salivary glands. And finally, it is my dying wish that you all move on with your lives and pretend I never existed. Yeah. Don't grieve over me. Don't mourn my passing. Heck, don't even bring me up. And that concludes the will. Casserole in the back.
Nice. Seriously, don't even bring me up was like, I spent this entire movie wondering about when is this child going to like even mention that he misses his mom?
Yeah.
Right. Briefly at the door with Deborah.
Yeah. That was weird. Deborah. That was a weird thing that they just sort of swept under the
glossed over. Yeah.
Like it was no big deal. Kid's pretty versatile. Horrible. I guess.
She's a horrible mom.
She must have been something. I'm assuming she was like, you know. I don't know, very absent maybe because she comes from an affluent family or something. I couldn't figure it out either. It's like, maybe this kid is totally non-affected by his mom
dying.
I don't
tell you. We're left to like fill all in the blanks. And all I can think of is like, well, all right, he's this, you know, active young boxer, good looking dude. You're knocking people out left and right. And this lady falls for him or whatever. And he's like, see you later, Wasp. I'm out of here, and goes for her. Right. And I don't know. Who knows? They don't tell you enough about it, but the film is real steel. And, for some of us, Randy always talks about how he didn't think it actually existed. Like the film is like a weird anomaly for him, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Right. I missed trailers. I missed the movie.
Yeah.
It came out during like the first few months that I had moved to SoCal and started working.
Yeah, you
at
were
Blizzard,
right in the like, middle of all that stuff, right? Yeah. It was like hectic time. I think.
Didn't
yeah, like,
I, and so when it was brought up about a month ago and put on our list, I was like, this must be one of those tiny movies, those things that like it was on you know, like straight to DVD or something, and that's why I didn't. And then I'm like looking at it, oh my god, it's huge. Yeah, like it's everybody big, saw this. Yeah. How did I miss this?
Yeah, it's Hugh Jackman.
It is Hugh Jackman, but this also has the notable position of being the first movie I ever saw with Brian Ibbett in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. That had never
happened.
That
wasn't a Nerdtacular film, right?
Oh, right.
Because you and I saw lots of movies in a theater.
Right.
As Nerdtacular.
Yeah, if you don't count, I don't know if you were there for Dark Knight, but I know you're there for Star Trek. And
I was there for Dark Knight.
Iron Man 2. Okay, so this was like the first like intimate me and Brian sitting next to each other.
Right. Both hands in the bucket.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
No, share with two bucket. Straws.
Yeah.
Would you like that in a bucket for only 25 cents more?
I'm glad you bring that up because so much in our discussions of during the pandemic and, you know, people saying, I don't mind the movie experience. I hope we never have to go back to movie theaters. I want to bring up the fact that one of the first things you brought up about this movie is the fact that you saw it in a theater with me. Mm-hmm. And there is that social aspect of movie going that people are going to miss and we do miss.
Yeah. I prefer it with friends. Like I'd rather, that, like sitting with you or having a bunch of people I like around. I don't miss
the regular strangers. Assholes. You get them too.
Yeah,
can just go.
I don't miss.
You know what? Lowest
sucking juji fruit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead, Dunaway.
For me, it's comedies. I've had big debates with people who disagree with this. So I understand it's not the most the most majority opinion, but there is something about being in a crowd of people who are all laughing when it's time to laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is very joyous to me. I really enjoy that.
And telling.
And I can't imagine ever seeing like every comedy I'll ever see the rest of my life being sort of alone in my living room. Mm-hmm. You know, like that it's just not the
weird.
Same.
Yeah.
There were some weird people laughing during one of the last movies I saw in the theater, which was The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah. Not Elizabeth Olsen, Elizabeth Moss.
Moss, yeah.
And yeah. There was no real comedy in that movie, so I don't know why there were people laughing.
I know people hate me at the movies because I know that my family doesn't. They like going to movies with me, and they don't because when I see a movie, even though I'm with other people, I really watch it like I'm alone, and I will laugh out loud and as loud as I want to.
Yeah, don't hold back.
Out loud is fine. I mean, that's
even during bad things. I mean, bad things can happen. If it's too sappy, I might laugh that too.
Oh,
and really? I'll look around like, I'm sorry.
You have this thing that you do when something uncomfortable happens in a movie that I've heard you do. Yeah. You do it on the show when the intro has something in it. You'll go, I'll suddenly hear, meh, like that. I'll hear that.
And I have no laugh filter.
I love that.
If it strikes me, I laugh it.
There's this whole other side of the coin for me with the opposite of comedies, whatever the opposite of comedies is. And we happen to be recording this on the day of the 2020 Oscars. And, we don't know yet at all what's going to go down there. But
yeah, we do. It's going to be Nomadland.
This is like a thing for me every year of my life. I care more than I should about these movies. And there's a kind of movie that we're talking about. And so like Nomadland, for instance, is a movie where I want to take it in. I want to really take it in, like focus. And I kind of want to be alone for it. You know, like you're looking at scenic South Dakota and crying. I don't know why South Dakota cries when Chloe Zhao takes a picture of it, but like you look at that, like I don't really need to be surrounded by strangers to enjoy that.
Yeah, I only watched those by myself, like No Country for Old Men. I was like, I saw like the first 10 minutes of it and other people around me, I'm like, nah, I'm watching this by myself. This is something that I don't need anybody going, you want popcorn? Shut up.
Yeah.
We're watching a classic here.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You can be free to be yourself, but you don't want anyone else being free to be themselves. So
that's me.
Well, who knows how that'll all go in the future, but for now, I can say it was a nice time then in 2011, and here we all are 10 years later talking about Real Steel. So this movie, directed by Sean Levy, nothing to do with any of the famous Levies in Canada, starring Hugh Jackman, Evangeline Lilly, and Dakota Goyo. This kid kind of stopped doing anything in 2014. I don't know what happened, but his childhood.
He did everything he needed to in this film.
Yeah, you know what? He decided, I'm not going to get sucked into that crappy Hollywood youth structure.
I hope that was it. I hope that was the reason.
Right? you say that, but the agent has updated his picture recently on IMDb.
Oh, maybe he's coming. He's coming back, baby.
I don't know.
Full Thor now.
He's almost full Thor.
He's so mad. What a cute kid. That's a kid. That kid. Oh my gosh, that kid. When in some of these in some of these depth of field shots where they've gone and added extra color to his eyes. Ooh, bad.
Yeah, he's a cute
kid. Then you go to IMDb and he's like an angry 23-year-old.
Yeah, he looks pissed. Yeah. He looks pissed. He's definitely, he looked like around my daughter's age, and he is now. And that's about how old she was when we saw the film. She remembers it too, and she remembers thinking that kid was cute, which I just thought was a fun aside.
I would watch him in like a TV series Thor, where you know he's always pissed.
He's
no
teen
humor
Thor.
At all. Just
Teen Thor.
You know,
yeah, Teen Thor. Call it Teen Thor.
Teen Thor. Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. We got an idea. Disney Plus. Come on over.
No, it would have to be Young Thor because of young The Rock and Young Sheldon.
Right. Right. And Young Indiana Jones.
That's the thing.
This kid's credits include Young Noah, Young Thor, Young Tommy Conroy. Seriously, I'm just reading the name that he has played.
He's always flashback version, huh?
Yeah, right. Young Tommy Conroy in Happy Town.
That's a bummer. I guess he quit in 2014, so you don't really have much else to look at. But yeah, that Noah movie, I forgot he was the young version of Noah in that.
Maybe he went to school. I know, hard to believe a young person would just... Stop
just choose
acting
to go
for
to
a
school?
Minute.
How
go to school.
That, how is that even a thing?
Make himself better. I don't know.
I mean, he started in JoJo's Circus TV show as Little Blue in, at the age of five, or very young, 2005. So that would have made him whatever that is.
Right.
Something. Anyway.
but I thought he did like this is some of the I thought it was great chemistry between our three primary actors here.
Oh, for sure.
That was just amazing. And I really bought Dakota Goya's.
He was great. He's a good kid actor. If there was a way to go back in time and fix the prequels, you'd put him in as Jake Lloyd's character and just get, you know, make a proper Anakin. Like he's great at what he's doing. Every time he danced, though, I threw up a little, just a little throw up. You know,
it was 2011 mimicking.
You always blame this on the time the movie came out. I'm telling you, that was never
we all danced like
it
that.
Was 2000. No, they didn't. It was weird because it was supposed to be a 2011 movie based supposed to be in 2020, but they were stealing 2003's vibe. I'm like, what's going on? This is a really weird,
a little
out of
time, right?
Film.
Yeah, it didn't feel like
it is. It was a weird addition. It was, you know, the movie, does it know exactly who it's trying to appeal to? Is it trying to appeal to the, would you take
Rocky
a kid
fans?
To this? Probably no problem. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any problem with taking a kid to this movie.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, but I just feel like, I feel like we're getting a little bit negative here on a movie that is just so freaking fun.
It's pretty adorable.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely,
it's like so, it's so constantly joyous that I'm like, I don't even know who is it appealing to? Everybody. It just wants everybody to have a good time.
It's the epitome of a family film, and I actually would highly recommend it as such because I think it's kind of perfect for everybody. It's got something for everybody. There's some fun world building, some actual heartfelt moments. I feel like they were kind of earned, not just throwaway stuff like that. And even the seediest moments are not that seedy.
Special. That I enjoyed seeing in the theater more.
I can totally see that. Even like it's like we talked about the mom.
What was it called? My Robot? Was that
Okay.
There were so many heavy topics in this film, and they just kept taking glancing blows from all these terrible things like deadbeat dad, extortion, you know.
Right.
Terrible things. And they just kept taking glancing blows and laughing about it and just having a good time.
Charlie and Bailey's relationship had so much potential. And it was just like she's just kind of a hanger-on who is apparently some kind of mechanical genius, but they don't even really steer into that.
She has a gym, but now nobody's in it.
And then like eventually he climbs into bed with her and she smiles a little bit. And
I guess this is happening. Yeah.
But it was sweet. It was sweet.
Well,
and then
she
had the.
But there was no setup for those two. Like even in the when they were talking in the gym before, and he tries to be romantic with her, she kind of pushes it off and says, "No, I like money more."
Yeah, right.
And then
I'm kind of
like,
into Paul Rudd here. I'm not just.
And then she's sleeping.
Right.
Okay, I could just close.
That was such a weird thing because it's like that moment like a country song come to life because I'm like. I miss you, and instead of using the whole bed, even though you haven't been here in almost a decade, I'm going to leave like a spot in the bed for you to just come lay down with me when you're ready, you know, when you get through on your travels.
I watched this movie with an 11-year-old boy, and I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of lessons that I'd prefer my kid not be getting from me. You know, like that crawling into bed with a woman that you, where you don't really know if they do it. But like paying a bunch of money for a child and, and hiding that fact. And so like there was just like all these things that outraged my kid.
And he was right. And rightly so. In fact, if anything, I was taken aback by some of that stuff because I don't remember it. I don't remember him trying to buy his way out of his kid responsibilities, and I forgot about
they didn't all of dwell that. On it.
And so as a result, it's so like, well, all right, whatever, we're gonna go fight robots. Like they just got past that stuff
hand wavy.
That it never felt I don't know. It felt like, hey, maybe the future everyone just takes things less seriously.
It's all good. Like, I don't know. It's all good. Except for Rodeo Bill.
Oh, my Lord. Angry. Dude, freaking Bean Fork. The minute Bean Fork showed up, I got so excited. I love that guy. I love him. I love him in everything he ever does. There's something about him. I just cannot. That's why he's one of my favorite actors to just be surprised he's in a thing. And he hands his shit up so hard.
How do you feel about that accent?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
But it's intentionally, bad. I mean, you were supposed to just hate him, and boy, did I hate him.
It was 2011. Everyone did weird, bad voices back in 2011.
We're talking about Kevin Durant.
Yes, Kevin Durant. Beanfork.
Beanfork.
Yeah.
That guy, oh my gosh.
I love him so much. Okay, for those uninitiated, a lot of you already know this, but the reason I call him Beanfork is in 310 to Yuma, the remake in 2007 or whatever.
He's Tucker.
He ends up getting killed about halfway through that movie by Russell Crowe, who is handcuffed, but gets his hand on a bean fork because they had bean forks when the Cowboys did. And he pulls him over and just stabs him in the neck repeatedly until he's dead with a bean fork. So he's called Bean Fork now. That's his name.
It's nice. It was nice. But man, he really played. They gave him so little material.
Yeah.
But by the time he was done, it's like, Yeah, Falcon, you take him back out there and you just keep living.
I actually, my alternate introduction or greeting or whatever was going to be someone talking to him and basically all of the other actors to describe the movie to them. Like, it's like, you are all hustlers, every single one of you. Yeah. Like, if you want a story, you need to go to another movie. Kevin Durant, you're a hustler. Anthony Mackie, I'm sorry, you're a hustler. Hugh Jackman, I mean, if you think about it, all he does his whole movie is try to hustle his way through success. The only people in this movie who aren't hustlers are you Asians. So you guys are dismissed. Like you can, like you're actually professional. No, you're here. Like you're competent.
Actually, you're good with robots.
Yeah.
That's what we decide you're going to be good at.
Everyone. So as soon as I saw Kevin Durant at a rodeo, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is the hustler that I want. And he kept showing up. It's great. I thought they were going to just drop him. But man, he has the best smile ever.
Dude, nobody is freaky and creepy, and I'm about to die if I'm near him kind of thing, but then also weirdly got some kind of weird charm going on. I don't know what his thing is, but...
It's a look that will never let him play the leading role in a romantic film.
Right, right.
But later, certainly not a rom-com. But he will always have a career as the shady friend or the... Yeah. Backstabbing nemesis or whatever.
Always.
Or the blob.
Yeah, or the blob.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the blob, yes.
Yeah. I just roped the Russian lady into the phrase Asians, but I think it fits. I think she's, you know, Russia is mostly Asian.
Yeah, continentally speaking.
I had to look her up and see if she was really, because I thought her accent was so bad.
Heavy?
It was
terrible.
Yeah, well, just bad. Terrible. I was like, oh no, I guess she really is European. I forgot where she's from.
Is it Olga Fonda?
It's Olga Fonda, yeah.
How can you, first name is Olga. No, what did you expect?
It's not Olga Fonda.
She was born in Komi, and then she lived in Moscow for like years.
Okay.
She's legit Russian.
All right.
Yeah, it's just funny that because it felt like her accent was so...
No, so I'm with Ibbot. I thought this was all fake. I was sure of it.
Yeah.
Like I heard that and went, what the frick is that you're doing? That's so bad. But I guess
they didn't give her many lines.
No, but what the ones they gave her sounded like she was faking that accent hardcore.
Yeah.
Totally. But I loved that. Even that stuff, which is a little cartoony, but the competition stuff was just another, like this was Rocky I's ending.
It was 100%. Absolutely just really Rocky. Was.
Yeah. Cause they didn't win, but they won in the hearts of the audience and only lost it by technicality point stuff. And it may as well have been somebody yelling for Adrian at the end.
Well, yeah. Down to the mythological reference, the character you're fighting against, right? Zeus is the father of Apollo.
Oh, shit. You know? It didn't even occur to me. Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah. I kind of like that.
There was nothing. I wouldn't say there's anything new going on in this movie. We've seen these movies a million times, but they had a lot of fun with it, and they just leaned into it.
It's like seven movies.
It recalled How to Train Your Dragon so many times. Oh, yeah. It was the same freaking music when the kid and his dragon, Night Fury, finally kind of bond. It was the same exact scene.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's also got kind of a there's a little bit of Iron Giant in there.
I couldn't decide if it was more Dutch or over the top with the parent-child relation. Do you guys remember Dutch from the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
O'Neill?
Ed O'Neill, forget it. Try to Google Dutch right now. Dutch film. Good luck trying to find the 90s film with him in it.
Why? What exists?
Comes up instead?
Yeah,
there's a 2021 movie called Dutch, and apparently it's overtaken the Google search.
Well, here's the 91. It's in here. Ed O'Neill. If you look at IMDb directly, it's in. It's Ed O'Neill.
If you go look for it, but if you Google it.
Oh, it's Ethan Emery was the kid. That's funny. Papa Giorgio. Anyway.
That's a John Hughes written film, my friends.
Yeah, John Hughes directed. No, Peter Faelman. Sorry, I made that up. But then the other one, you said over the top. That's totally what I was thinking, because you got the semi-truck kind of cross-country business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Practicing outside of the cab of the truck all the time. Lots of shots. Yes. It just made me go, oh, yeah, remember Over the Top? That's what this is.
Decide to meet that movie halfway?
Did you guys notice the feet window in the truck?
Yeah.
I mentioned it during my intro, but I was like,
the what window?
The feet window.
The feet window.
Yeah, you had like a little transparent foot area. Yeah,
in the window. Really? I'm sure somebody will write in and say, these transport trucks where you need to see the road when you're pulling. I'm like, whatever. It was so silly, because when they would get in the truck, you could never see their faces in the truck. All you could ever see was their feet.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, but I assume that was some future-y idea, but I could be wrong. They seem to go out of their way to not too future up everything. Robots were kind of it. Yeah. Everything else seemed like today. You know, the cars didn't really change, and it was sort of everything looked normal except for robot fighting, and then little hints
and Texas still hated New York. It's all
same stuff. Xbox 720 logos, junk like that. But for the most part, they tried to stick it in the reel of the time, which I think is to their benefit, by the way. Try to world build too much, because you're going to distract from the focus of your movie. But
you get to have one extravagance when you go near future, and the one extravagance in this movie is robots, like how they work, what they do, because it's insane. Like, there was not any understanding of math and physics involved in the making of this movie. Like, it's just like they go way, way over the top with what robots could conceivably be like.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Everything else around it is totally real.
Well, okay. I will say it's great, except let's go ahead and nitpick. I don't like the voice activated stuff. I also don't like the shadow stuff. I don't know how you should do it. Like,
I
joysticks
like the
alone.
Shadow stuff.
It was okay, but how the hell is it tracking him? Like, there's some problem with that tech.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't worried about the tech. I was worried about how do you humanize something. So it would have been real easy in 2011 with the CG we had at that time to really just lean into just CG fighting, and that would be boring. It was great to see Hugh Jackman in the back shadow. It really brought a humanity to it.
No, you're right. I think, I'll give you that. Yeah. But also, they had a temptation here, and they never did it. And I don't know whether to be super pleased with them or wonder if they... I'll try to explain. Movies like this are tempted from day one of production to make the robot more sentient than it allowed to be.
Yes.
And they didn't do it. They had moments of like, oh, it's sort of staring at itself in the mirror, but not really. It's not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the only moment I felt like, oh, they're kind of going into this.
Just a little bit, right? Yeah, but they weren't really.
Self-aware robot business.
They weren't really doing it. They were just sort of saying, here's the. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So give me the trope alert, and I'll give you the name.
All right. Here it is. Hold on.
It's called Maybe Magic, Maybe Mundane. And basically here, you know, you have hints of Adam being sentient being dropped, right, but it's never explicitly said, except on the DVD commentary. In the DVD commentary, we learn that Adam's fight with Metro was originally written to confirm that Adam was sentient. So basically they lose a connection to him and Adam goes on fighting without Max operating him. And the filmmakers realized, no, wait, let's go with the better trope, Maybe Magic, Maybe Mundane, because that will capture the imagination of the audience.
Right.
And it did. It was perfect. It was played right down the middle.
I liked that they did it that way. I would prefer that over me trying to then go, okay, now I got to feel for this thing. I already do feel for it because humans naturally do. When we anthropomorphize stuff, we go, oh, all right, familiar. It has eyes. It moves like me, you know. We it's easy for us to take a
weird smile.
Right.
All right. So I want to ask me. I want to ask you guys, think about all the movies you've seen. Give me an example of this where we don't really know. Is that thing sentient? And it's better because of it. I got the best example, but I want to know.
Gosh.
I think they always cross the line almost 99% of the time.
Yeah, they do most of the time.
Right. They like make it obvious or they don't like or don't do it at all, right?
Right. And that works, by the way, if you're 12, that's amazing. That sort of idea. It's great.
Yeah,
you know, the machine came to life. No way. Rad. But I don't think it works on adults. That's why I think I respect this so much. But I can't think of anything. Terminator would have been funny if it was never sentient. I don't know. Randy, what were you thinking of? What was if anyone else has guesses?
Anaconda? The anaconda seemed kind of sentient.
I'm trying to remember. There's got to be a movie where like something happens and they look over at a jukebox in the corner and like, did that have something to do with it? I don't know. And then it just moves on. And either they make the jukebox smile or...
Right.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about Hot Tub Time Machine because it's a really like it's a ridiculous example of does this hot tub know what it's doing? The best example for me ever is Mjolnir in the Avengers movies because Mjolnir is supposed to just be a weapon. It's just a weapon. But they decide we're going to tell a story about this thing where everybody's trying to lift it and they're trying to get the philosophy of it right. And they all slowly come to realize this weapon is deciding who gets to lift it, you know, like, but they don't really say that. They walk that line between the two and it makes it really, really funny in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't like it when I just don't like when I'm being pandered to. So this movie being a little bit like hinty that or moments of like, is he there? Is he, you know, does he know what's going on? Is there? And so therefore, is this bad? Like, are we beating up a life form for our entertainment when we thought we were stopping people from killing each other or hurting each other? Now we're just doing it to another life form.
Yeah.
Like all those questions.
Or a bull.
The freaking PETA people must have been pissed in 2020. But anyway. But that's my point. Go ahead.
I thought it was good because this character, Adam represented way more than just, you know, man's interaction with it. It was also a place that he was kind of a surrogate for his father and allowed them a communication. You know, a lot of children talk about how sports, you know, really bonded them and their parents. And so he's a bridge somewhat as well. And so he served many purposes. And one thing they didn't do, which I was feeling like the story wanted to, but Carl Jung, the programmer that came out of retirement to program Zeus, you know, he really wanted this sparring bot. And I kept thinking, well, somebody threw that sparring bot away and it was special. I wonder if this was his earlier on. Was it some of his earlier work? And he knows something.
And that's a great plot point to
have in the film, right?
Right.
But the nice thing about the film is that you can have these sort of thoughts and it doesn't take away from it. You know, like I spent a lot of this movie wishing that this was a series that just would go on and on and on because I want to get into Anthony Mackie's character. I would really like to understand how did he get to be this? What is he even?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think it takes away from the film that it doesn't teach you what that is.
And some of that, see, that stuff I think is good world building because I'm left to fill in those blanks, and those are fun blanks to fill in. But I want to say something about Anthony Mackie before we move off of him. Everyone knows him now, of course, as the Falcon and lots of other stuff he's in. But what I like about him, and I realized he was doing it here, and he does it in Falcon and Winter Soldier. He kind of does it everywhere. If there's any kind of like underlying systematic or otherwise a little bit of racism going on in the scene, his facial reactions to that stuff,
he is so good at it.
Oh my gosh, it's good.
Exactly.
It's him so good.
Being outraged at Kevin Durant was way better than him punching Kevin Durant.
I agree. That was just a really great moment, and it was good to see him. I'd forgotten he was in this entirely, and so that was cool. And also, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I liked his character. I couldn't figure out. I was trying to go through his backstory as well. I'm like, was he a promoter at one point in time? Is he always just been into gambling? Because there's another aspect of this film also. It's like replacement. We're being replaced by these robots and automation. And so it was like there were so many places they could have went with this film. Yeah. And instead, they stayed right on the rails. Ed gave us this film.
Yeah, that's what I was going to actually add to this, because the director had said, you know, somebody said, well, why isn't this all super sci-fi looking and stuff? And he says, the reason we only set it in 2020, which is only 10 years in advance, like all decades, you don't see that much change. He says, distant futurism is an extreme kind of science fiction. I wanted the world to feel really familiar so that the characters would feel really relatable. The cell phone we used 5 or 10 years later looks different from today, but the diner still looks like a diner. And that's a really smart, I think,
yeah, because diners won't change over the next 10 years, probably. Right. Diners will probably still look the same.
Plus, I like the juxtaposition of big, gnarly robots that are kind of beat up, especially the one at the zoo or whatever it was.
I wanted more of the zoo.
Mishmash parts.
Zoo wasn't that bad. Even the zoo, I mean, this kid grifted these guys for like $2,000, and they didn't even
They just paid out.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's another.
You got me, kid. Here's your money. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. I wanted them to just insert, like, give me 30 seconds of escrow. Like, there's a service on all of their amazing iPads that they go to put in the money. And then, it makes sense, because there's no way these guys would.
Oh, you mean their translucent HP tablets that they had?
Yeah. Those were pretty cool. That was the most unbelievable part of the future that HP would
use. Yeah, the HP would have anything to do with that. Yeah. And we were right. We were right to believe that. They didn't do anything in 10 years.
The most unbelievable thing for me was that you could just break into a junkyard in the middle of the night and find a robot.
That was probably the hardest part for me in this whole movie, was accepting the fact that there was no karma for them stealing this robot. Those buried in mud. First of all, the kid is rich, apparently. He's always been rich. And I'm like, look at this, you know, freaking privileged kid stealing a robot and, you know, going out on the road and I was just like,
The economics math doesn't make any sense.
Right. I agree.
In reality, you could go to a junkyard and get the husk of a really awesome car. And if you stole that husk and took it home, you know, you wouldn't have spent any money. But guess what? As soon as you start rebuilding that car, as soon as you start putting an engine in it and so on, you're about to spend tens of thousands of dollars. And it's like, I just don't understand why this movie doesn't care about that reality, you know?
Man, money was coming and going so fast this whole movie. It was just like stacks and stacks of money just coming and going. Yep.
Sure, and there was still, you know, lots of chicks in the bucket left with the other people that Charlie owed money to. Sure,
the other robots. How I spent the whole movie waiting for some of these bots to come back, like revisit. Like, what's the name of the amazing first one?
Noisy Boy?
I
was just like, the whole movie, I'm like, we're gonna see the head of Noisy Boy on a robot, you know? Yeah. Nope, right. Never happened.
That two-headed female looking double headed
Twin Cities.
The Twin Cities. Yeah. I thought that would it looked like two it looked like a mishmash of two. Well, they looked like two of Optimus Primes or something to me.
Like, I had trouble with that one, because I was like for a second, I was like, oh cool, two heads. I was like, oh, that'd be stupid. I mean, that wouldn't work out at all.
Especially when they're both just pointing the same way. It's not like, you know, they had one that could, that was permanently the other way so that it could, like, twist and still fight backwards and twist and, like, you know. But it was like they're both facing forward the whole time. I was like, okay, well, what's the point of that?
Yeah, what is the point of two heads? I do have a question that maybe you guys can answer, and I had a little bit of Mandela effect with this movie. And my memory was when the kid showed up, he had just like the shirt on his back and his backpack or whatever. And they and dumped
apparently
him
had an underneath that wife
right,
beater.
And a wife beater under that. And then in my head, he ran off for a while. And in his backpack was a small robot. And he went into an alleyway and he got some other, there were some other kids there and he had like a little alleyway fight between little robots. I watched
this on Netflix. And so I only got whatever they serving. It's like,
well,
over
I'm sure
2 hours.
They didn't cut it out as far as I know, but I think I've thought of it's from something else.
Yeah. I don't remember what that, yeah, I don't, be.
I've
I don't
mushed them together. All. There's something about, it's like one of those love death and robots segments or something.
Before we leave the names of the robots, have we ever talked about the trope called Red Baron?
No, let's hold on.
Curse this trope.
So Red Baron, man. It's just when you're so badass, you don't even have a name. You just have a nickname. Like, and all the robots in this movie are like that. Nobody ever started with, well, this is my version 3.2 of the X5 robot. No. They're right. Twin Cities. They're Midas. They're Zeus. Oh, yeah. They're Noisy Boy.
They're wrestling names. This is not really
wrestling
boxing
names. Or Fast and the Furious car names. I mean,
right.
I don't know if they do that in the Fast and Furious movies. But
I was going to say, I was just thinking, did they do that?
I don't know. I've only seen one. And it was,
I've only seen one.
I looked up a list of all the
we watched two on here, haven't we?
Oh, have we?
You've done that.
Right, I've seen the Tokyo Drift one.
We've seen
whatever we watched.
And that's not the one we watched.
No, we watched two. We watched two. That's all we've seen.
Okay.
I looked up a list of the robots in this movie, and it's a bunch of things I didn't even notice because this is the first time I've ever seen it. And so there's bots named Blacktop, the bot out of hell, Six Shooter, the sheriff of Robot Town, Gridlock, the bronze bodybuilder, and then there's one called Axelrod, the wheel spinning fist fighter. And I'm just
he was
like,
in yeah. Axelrod was in actually. We actually saw Axelrod leaving a fight against Zeus.
Still punching the air.
Yeah, his torso was punching the air. But what it reminds me of is it's monster trucks. That's what this is. It's just monster truck names. Monster truck, yeah, because the monster trucks, it's all those dumb names. The alligator.
Yeah. Hey, it's not dumb. Bigfoot's a cool name.
There's no Mr. Pibb. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this Dr. Pepper in this movie.
this Red Baron trope does really, really recall Rocky, where everybody is the master of disaster, the king of sting, the Italian stallion.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's why it appealed to me so much, but also that they just laid into it. They didn't have a problem just assuming the world and then going for it. They didn't have to spend a lot of time convincing me this was all okay. They just said, yeah, this is how it is. And I think Hugh Jackman deserves a bunch of credit for selling it. He's great in this. He's just perfect. Lovable asshole. Like, he's an asshole, but he's lovable.
Yeah. And Hugh Jasshole.
Yeah, Hugh Jasshole.
Let me tell you, Evangeline Lilly did an amazing job because almost all of her acting was reaction shots, and she's alone in almost all, like a lot of the shots.
Right.
She is alone acting. And still some of them, she's crying. Yeah. I'm like, that was nice.
She's still a big Hollywood crush for me, but I also know that if I met her in person, it would freak me out because I hear she's just tiny. She's like 2 feet tall.
Right.
Well, you can tell she's tiny in this when she's just standing next to Hugh Jackman, who I don't think is a huge guy.
No, he's like six foot maybe.
He's guy.
He's shorter than me, but the fact that she's so small.
Why was like a little elf?
Yeah.
Why was Baby at the premiere of this film? Why was
Baby?
Dirty Dancing Baby. Why was she?
Oh, Jennifer Grey.
Was Jennifer Grey at? I was looking at the promo photos, and Jennifer Grey just pops up. And I'm like, what was Jennifer Grey doing there? Then I realized she was at the time she was married to what's his face, Marvel Boy, agent.
Yeah, Clark Gregg. Coulson.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know.
Are they not married anymore?
No, I think they
just got divorced.
Oh. He died, you know.
This was
he didn't
news.
Die.
Yeah, because he went to Tahiti and he came back. Tahiti, it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, he died in the Marvel
I think their daughter was actually in this film. Hmm. I think that's what happened, but I don't see her anywhere in the credits. Really? But I was curious. Yeah. I was like, what was she there for?
Does she look like she did when she was younger before she had her whole face redone? Does the daughter look more like real Jennifer Grey, like the original Jennifer Grey?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Not good for us to be talking about that.
Yeah, probably not.
My Jennifer Grey boyfriend is Billy Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
In my mind, they're together.
They never left. That was never a problem.
It's a moment in time.
We got to talk about James Rebhorn in this. He played Marvin, the Dr. Death looking dude that Brian referred to in his intro.
He is the rich husband.
He's in a billion things, but the thing I always remember him from is the final two-part Seinfeld finale. He was the lawyer that was trying to prosecute George and Jerry. So he was the one that was
I've only seen that episode like once.
Right.
It's just so depressing.
You should watch it again because it was by its nature going to depress you because it was the finale.
But if you go watch
that now, it's legit freaking funny.
Okay.
And it holds up in a way that people forgot because they were all sad when they watched it. So you got, I'm telling you, I had the exact same experience, and having watched it again, it's a whole new thing. It's great.
Yeah.
But
I connect him with being the dean at the college, Scent of a Woman, where his brand new convertible gets, drop paint on from, what's his face?
Wasn't he in The Game? He was that weird dude in The Game.
It's the only film sack film I could come up with for Rebhorn.
Oh, really?
He's
been in so much stuff. It surprises me that that's the only thing we've seen him in.
Yeah.
He picks good stuff. Wait, did we sack Independence Day?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we did? Did we?
Yeah, we did.
No, did we sack Independence Day?
Hold on a second.
I think we did. Okay, vote real quick before you look it up.
Okay. I'm going to say no.
I don't remember doing an intro for Independence Day.
I don't either.
I'm pretty sure I could do it.
Okay, I think we did, but Randy?
I'm going to say no. I don't think we did because I just said, did we second? I don't think we did.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to look it up right now. hold on. There we go. Let's see. Oh, that didn't work. Why did I spell it wrong? I did. Okay, hold on. I'm going to fix the spelling on that. Nope, we have not done.
Oh my God!
Independence Day.
We've done Independence Day.
Yeah.
Why have we not done Independence Day?
Probably
because it hasn't been available for us.
Yeah.
And I imagine that every year I go looking it up in June to see.
Can we lock it in for whatever
we did? We've done like three other of those Emmerich movies, and I'll bet we're just thinking
we've probably just done
it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, it should be on. I mean, it's got to be on our list. I think it just never shows up anywhere.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, did we ever want to see that second one is the question. My heart tells me no, because it's bad.
I mean, I saw it, but not for film sack.
I think actually the second one, I don't know.
You think it'd be a good sack? I don't know. It makes me nervous.
Anyway, I just want to close out. I want to close out the topic, and say that James Rebhorn feels like he's 45 years older than Hope Davis. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point, right? Is that he's got this young hot wife. He's going to do whatever he can to make sure that she's happy. And
right.
I like that. I like the fact that he was like, "We want the child, but don't mess up my Italy trip."
Mm-hmm. So she's 5 years older than
I just looked it up. He's only 14 years older than her.
Okay. Oh, in real life? Yeah, he's 65.
When they made this movie, died. He died in 2014.
No, he didn't, did he?
Yeah, he died.
Rebhorn gone.
2014.
Boo! Rebhorn gone. The guy only had 3 years to live. He didn't know when this movie came out. He was only going to be around for three more. That sucks. All right.
I hope he made some good stuff after this film.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Nasty taste it, huh?
Where's Kevin Durant these days? Film. What's Kevin Durant up to? Let's make sure he's not dead. Okay, he's good.
That's true. Yeah, this would be a good. This would way better than Wagons West or whatever.
Yes,
Wagons East final film.
Right.
It's Wagons
East.
I've
still yet to watch that.
Yeah, East though, because West would have been normal. East, yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. Makes more sense. Yeah, that's the joke. It's East.
Wagons West, I think, is the actual movie though, right? Wagons West? I think that's the whole joke.
I think Wagons West is an actual true old Western. Yeah.
You said the chick in the bucket earlier was some of those other robots, but I feel like that's true.
I'll grab a bucket.
Oh, no, we'll give you
the
that.
The chick in the bucket is all the people that he owed money to that he still
had
to
pay. Oh, right. He still owes money. Yeah. Yeah. After that beautiful, like natural, it was like the natural there at the end when they're raising their heads to the sky like they won, even though they lost.
But, there was no like turnaround of the, okay, I'm going to live with my dad now kind of story, right? It didn't go that far with the trope, which I'd forgotten and I was really impressed with. It wasn't.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
We all knew it was the right thing to do, right? I think that's what they just removed all the roadblocks for us. They're like, no, you don't need to think about that. Let me get this out of your way, too.
Maybe they didn't ever do a sequel because as soon as they left the stadium, he got shanked in the parking lot for owing something.
They're about to do a sequel. It's called Rock'em Sock'em Robots coming out in very short time.
That really is happening, isn't it?
Starring Vin Diesel.
Oh, my Lord. Are we really doing that?
Vin Diesel is the grown-up...
Oh my God!
Grown-up Alex or Max? I mean Max.
Yeah, Max, the grown-up Max.
That's great. Sorry, but you were about to give us another chick in the bucket.
Oh, I was gonna say for me, maybe it's just because I want to live there, but that New York City apartment / and gym at the bottom, apartment at the top, and then beautiful rooftop business. Yeah. Holy shit! I don't think you can. But look, if she doesn't,
I want it to live everywhere.
I hope it's rent controlled.
Yes, I'm saying. Like, I don't know how any of that works in New York anymore, but I wanted that place. Just looking at him, like, oh, yeah. If it comes with Evangeline Lilly, great, that's a bonus. But
they captured the working man mourning in this film that you usually don't see in this kind of film. Hmm. It's like arriving early morning, going to work. And it was just like, and especially if you're working like something that's entertainment or anything, arriving at the fair when everything else was basically dark and this oasis of lights.
Okay, yeah. Okay, but this Alexi Murdoch music video on the beginning of the movie is weird. It doesn't.
I liked it.
I love that song.
I thought it was discordant, but I liked it.
I didn't find it discordant at all.
Of course you liked it. You're required to. All human beings have to like Alexi Murdoch songs set over countryside landscapes.
I'm a sucker for it. I'll admit. They got me with that. I went home and I remember in 2011, I got home immediately and bought that song. I was so into it. Yeah. I bought the whole album. I was like, oh, this guy's great. And he still is. And that song's still good. But I mean, sure. Does it jive with the rest of the movie? No.
Yeah. Were they pouring the syrup on my pancake pretty heavy? Yes. Sure. I didn't care.
Yes.
Sure. I haven't started eating this yet. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You haven't even eaten it. You're hungry.
Sometimes you need a little extra syrup on your pancake.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I can't find this Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I don't believe you that it exists. I'm looking at
Vin Diesel. The Rock'em Sock'em. You haven't seen the Rock'em Sock'em Robots coming out, man.
I'm looking at Vin Diesel's thing. He's got Fast and Furious 10 announced, Furia announced, Muscle announced, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'll give you the Hollywood Reporter article because that's where I heard about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's brand new.
Like this last week it got announced.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then
it's brand new stuff.
Now I have belief in you. I believe in you.
How are they going to make head pop straight up? That's what I want to know.
Right. Bling.
Although he looks weird in that picture that you just posted. I don't know why.
Okay, so let's talk about Vin Diesel for a minute and his bodybuilding and how he works out and stuff. He
plays World
of
Warcraft.
Long periods of take a break and then he like jams the gym, so his body shape changes a lot.
Who, Vin Diesel does?
Yeah, Jim. Vin Diesel. He looks different every time you see him, just about. It's according to what he's doing.
Who else is
he's a master sculptor of body.
Oh, they're saying, this is Fast and the Furious business. All right, well, I'll look forward to their Rock'em Sock'em Robot attempt and hate it, probably.
Here on Film Sack.
But I think, this is my first viewing of Real Steel, and I was a doubter. But after seeing this film, I'm like, okay, they might could do it if they could figure out a way, but they can't do it just like this.
Yeah, but in this case, it's an original. Well, not totally original. I should give some background real quick. This thing was based on Steel. This was a 1956 short story by I Am Legend author Richard Matheson. It was previously adapted into a short teleplay for the Twilight Zone called Steel in 1963.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that one?
I went back and watched. I scrubbed it.
No, I wish I would have known about it sooner. I would have watched it.
Yeah, scrubbed it. It's weird because it's not like, okay, so this is Twilight Zone. And when we think of robots, we're all primed for Transformers, you know, after Transformers came around. But robots before were humanoids, essentially. That, you know, and that's how this was. This guy had an ugly mug, just like the worst Twilight Zone prosthetic stuff. And he was just a robot, you know, like an android.
Oh, look at that. It's got quite a cast in it.
Yeah, it does. It's Twilight Zone.
What's his name? Old-time Western actor. I can't think of his freaking name, so I'm not going to. William Holden? Is that who I'm thinking of? Anyway, I think maybe.
Oh, Lee Irvin or Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin, that's it. Right. Lee Marvin's in it.
Now, that story doesn't involve this, you know, story of the kid and everything in the Twilight Zone, but it more has to deal with the idea of sparring robots and are they human and, you know, and what do they feel and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Different thing, but this is where the inspiration came from, I guess.
Right.
Which is, yeah, just, obviously they went in a very different direction. Or took it a lot of different directions, but yeah.
The movie just doesn't answer the main question, which is, can they solve a CAPTCHA? And I don't know why.
That's the truth.
It can't identify a crosswalk or a parking meter to save its life.
Yeah, or a taxi. It's like, I feel watching those, I'll click two of them because I saw taxis, no front, and then I'll see one where it's like, is that a yellow? What is that way out there? Is that a yellow taxi? Yeah. And if I don't click it, then what? And if I do click it, then what? Ah!
Right. Oh, I've gotten to where it says you didn't click all the boxes that have taxis in them.
Great.
What is there one behind that boat?
No, that doesn't. What pisses me off is when they
crosswalk.
Yeah. Right. What pisses me off when I get it all right and then they go, okay, you found the boats. Let's see if we can find the buses now. We're gonna do one more time.
Right. I'm like, how about a hill?
Yeah, I'm out.
The hills and mountains are the ones I hate the most because I know there's a hill back where I can't see it behind all those houses. Do I click it because I know the existence of a hill?
Yeah, exactly. Or you know that if you travel far enough, you'll run into a hill. It's there.
At least those are halfway sensible. It's the ones that are like one giant picture. It says, click all the squares that have the stoplight in it.
Oh, that's the worst because sometimes there's a little
sliver over here.
Yeah, like a pixel. And you're like, well, does that mean I select that entire square or
Realizing, of course, this is just all up to the judgment of the individuals who made the original.
What if it's measuring stress and it doesn't actually care to get it right?
Right. Probably so.
A bot wouldn't have like a delay where it considers.
He took 4 seconds before he selected that sixth picture. Right. I think that's a human.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a good side conversation that we've just had.
It was fantastic. Good. It was good. But I want to get back to what Scott talked about. The biggest problem in the whole movie, of course, is that voice control. That
Amazon would be Echo control.
That is the opposite. Yeah. The voice control is the slowest interface you could ever use. Yeah. And in an event that requires split second movement, it would be moronic. Is what it
left hook, damn it, duck, damn it.
And some of the commands he was giving was like, get out of the corner. I'm like, that's not a command, get out of the corner. Right. You got to be more specific than that. The robot's not going to know the answer to that. And if it does, then it is sentient.
It's like saying, hey, SIRI, what food am I in the mood for today?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, I was bothered that the movie decided to go with Zeus being a learning AI because it's like, okay, well then no one can beat it or everybody is going to have a learning AI. And now it just comes down to who puts out one extra pound per square inch of power. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It's just not, I don't know. I didn't know.
That was the conceit, right? That was the only thing that could beat something like that would be a human. Because it would be
that's the concept. But see, here's a fundamental issue with that, and I think it speaks to what Randy's talking about. And I don't know how it's a movie, so whatever. But if this was real life, these wouldn't just be the analog of boxing. Like that's not what we do. We do what we do with hardware wars now, or other robot.
We're putting a forklift on that one.
Yeah, you do all kinds of crazy shit in an arena with explosives and weird blades, and you do all of that. That's what you do. You don't go, let's make this just like boxing. I don't think that is how this ends up.
But it kind of talked about the progression going from humans weren't enough. They weren't, we needed to go to the next level, but they never got there. It does seem like a weird progression.
Well, also it assumes a reality in 2011 that boxing was at an all-time high and they had to convert to robots because of just how pervasive the problems were. And that just was never true. Like boxing's way lost its, no one gives a shit about boxing anymore. Not really.
Right.
Not like they used to.
Well, that's because now we've got more violent sports.
Yeah. MMA sort of took it over.
You're saying this got 8 days after we all went and watched Logan Paul boxing?
Nobody watched that.
Who watched that?
Yeah. Nobody that cool. Nobody I want to spend time with watched that.
Okay, sure. But it was a surprisingly big event. Like it got a pretty big crowd on pay-per-view, some celebrities.
It is hilarious because of the few people that I did know, 13-year-olds, they were couldn't wait for him to get his butt kicked. That's what they were there to see.
That would be the only reason I'd watch it is specifically to see Logan Paul get beat.
Did he get beat? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah.
What was the deal?
Logan Paul beat a total tomato can. They put it was he was up against a wrestler. like a pretty successful wrestler, but also someone like 16 years older than him. Yeah. And it just like Logan Paul just hit him in the face a couple times and it was right. over.
But wait,
Tomato can. Okay.
But I thought he fought. What's with Floyd Mayweather? I thought that.
Oh,
was
not
the,
yet. That's no. that's he's trying to get that fight right. Is it? Did he secure it with this victory? That basically what he was really trying to prove is not that he's tough enough to beat him, that he is big enough draw to warrant a fight.
Yeah, right? Scott, if you want to see Logan Paul get beat down, you need to watch his next fight because he has nowhere to go from here. He has to fight an actual boxer next.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be something.
Well, I'm into it because
hey, don't get me wrong, the guy has obviously spent a lot of money, a lot of that YouTube money on training. You know, he's physically large enough. I don't know about his skills. I'm not watching it because I know it's all, you know, spectacle. That's what
he's buffed out.
It really is 100% right. spectacle. Like it doesn't the sports side of it, like right, the physical
right.
ability side of it is meaningless to everybody.
Right. Well, let's face it, you know, he's put in a lot of work. He's done the things. I'm sure he's a competent fighter. I can't even beat up a baby, so I would never. I would never call anybody.
Oh, I'd put money on you. I'd put money on you versus the baby. I think you'd win.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We
just have to see.
We'll have to see.
The baby's a huge trash talker.
And right. So Brian
Dunaway doesn't really know.
Right.
It's all spectacle in the end. All right. What else? Oh, your gross me out moment is audio based, but I'll play it now. Okay. Do you have any? Well, here, let me do this. Always gotta gross. Do that. All right. What do you guys think grossed me out the most?
Was it Kingpin and his loogies?
Nope.
Oh, that's pretty
those
good.
Were nasty, that's but no. good. I thought about those.
All right.
It came at a moment that was actually a nice, sweet moment, but then a thing happened and I went, oh, gross.
Yeah. Was it the crawling in of Hugh Jackman
nope,
in the bed?
Nope,
yeah.
nope. That's fine. Although she took too long to smile, and I think that's because his little potato grew just an inch that day.
I didn't think this was particularly gross, but I laughed out loud when the day after they find Adam in the mud and come home. The day after, yeah. Hugh Jackman has cleaned up nicely, but the kid, like all boy children, yep. has not taken a bath because no one yeah. told him to yeah, and right. required him to. No one forced this child yep. to take a bath, so he is dirty AF.
Yeah, I saw
he's
him
just covered in mud.
On the list, on the top 10, but not. I kept thinking, oh my gosh, get that kid. You know, he just stinks. He's a stinky little poo bean.
Yeah, the kid is with two. The kid is with two adults who aren't doing any parenting.
Right, right. Well, I'm gonna since none of you seem to know, I'm gonna play some audio from this. There's the first time that Hugh Jackman up on the roof with Evangeline Lilly, they decided to have a little kissing time. Okay.
Okay.
Listen to this sound. Time. This is the sound they made. Here you go, dude.
Oh yeah,
I hate it when people get their nose half covered, half like not able to breathe on someone's cheek, and they just.
Wasn't a nose whistle like a.
I'm not saying take a deep breath before you kiss, but if you don't, you might end up in a situation where you got to suck in a lot of air through your nose.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you may look stupid going, are we going to kiss now? Okay. Okay, let's go in.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I hate it. It's gross.
It may look stupid.
We're going to play it one more time.
It may look stupid, but it's better than the.
You're right. Here's one more. Don't do it.
It sounds like the sound when you open a Dr. Pepper.
Another unpaid endorsement of everyone's favorite refreshing drink. I'm drinking one now. I actually have a can of Diet Dr. Pepper right here.
Nice. Oh, zero sugar
or I ran out of those because they were so good, and now I'm left with this crappy Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it sucks. Anyway, so there's that. What else? We already talked about that.
But they didn't, you know, and it was they didn't do.
I did write. Well, I just thought that when Zeus walked by the kid for the first time and turned at it.
Yes.
And then like kind of ba-bong by. I thought that was
so awesome.
Yeah.
That's one thing they did sell in this movie is the awe of their love of the sport. I mean, both of them, the son and the father, both, even when they thought they might get their butts kicked, all they could do was just be amazed.
Yeah, they love it. They loved it.
It brought amazement in me, too. I was like, yeah, ooh, that was cool.
Except make up your damn mind on whether the controller does anything or just your voice does something. Like, right, which is it? Is he walking with your hands? Is he? Are you telling him to do that? Like, right. Before the shadow stuff, I didn't like the difference. I don't know what the difference between voice and that. What's the controller for is what I'm saying.
Controller was the original interface, and then the boy put in the, you know, the voice recognition, and the shadow boxing was a different mode.
Yeah, but the big fancy expensive Japanese one had a controller.
Noisy boy.
It had a controller. I just didn't understand.
He did, and voice control, so both.
And so did all the other opponents that they would fight. The guy,
explained it by saying that the Brazilians really pushed it or something. They really liked doing the voice activated stuff.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like the Brazilians. Brazilians. Let's go to Bing Stadium and search for porn.
Right. I did like how they kind of did. Like looked at the progression of how, the sporting event, changed over the world based on local fighting styles and everything. We didn't really get to see any of that.
Yeah.
But still.
Well, you know what you should have seen is shadow mode was still on when you leaned over and kissed Evangeline Lilly after the match. They didn't show up, but did he go like lean over for a big smack? I don't
know. pan sideways and these two robots making out.
Oh, that'd have been great. Figure out a way to give us some closure on him and Zeus.
You would be the most popular kid on your block if you had a fighting robot. You would never get a moment's peace.
Ever. Yeah, imagine that. But I mean, I had arcade games growing up, and I thought, there's nothing better. No, giant robot would get you more.
If you're walking around the park with your giant robot, I mean, every kid in a 6-block radius is going to be all on you.
Oh, I got to find it.
To make the world of this movie more realistic around the kid, I was imagining what would it be like if in reality a major driving circuit like IndyCar or Formula One or NASCAR was suddenly getting dominated by an 11-year-old. Like somebody just put a kid in a car and he was amazing.
I am almost positive that was a VHS straight to video film with Snake Plissken back in the 2000s.
Oh my god, that's funny.
What was it, six pack?
Did you just remember the
Yeah, I just figured it out. It's Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
The younger brother had the small robot. You take it into the alley and fight with the other kids. All right.
Am I the only one who spent this whole movie calling Adam Baymax? Because I was like, oh man, that Adam is gonna hug that kid. That kid needs a hug. Where's Adam? Where's Baymax?
He's poking his belly.
I was Kenny Rogers in the 6-pack from 1982.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers movie 6-pack. I saw that. Yeah. that was a thing my parents rushed out to show us. I don't know why.
Right.
Don't remember why that was such a big draw, but my parents were like, it was
the Bad News Bears for NASCAR, essentially, right?
Except it was way gentler. It was like a PG, right.
To finish my thought, if in reality NASCAR was suddenly being dominated by an 11-year-old, that would be insane. Mm-hmm. It would not be some kind of like, adults are now talking to this kid and he goes up to the luxury suite and gets to sell his car or whatever. No, it would be insane. The people around that kid's dad and his agent and everyone around him would be constantly on television. They would be like, you know exactly why this never happens. It never happens in real life because you have to build up really fine skills to compete on that level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. You're right. But also, look, in this case, he was basically just an owner. So I wonder if that would be weird. If you had a kid who inherited a giant fortune, it'd be weird. Right, but he's not the kid driving the car, for example. If you had some, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a kid like that. There really isn't.
They kind of shortcutted some of that stuff by having his dad being a retired boxer as a promoter. So he's, they kind of took some shortcuts to get there.
I love that his dad was really, really famous like 3 years ago, but he's now living in obscurity. That doesn't happen either.
But I did like the fact that, they had Max. Because it would have been so easy because he kind of portrays a little bit of a privileged kid and he's got everything going for him. But then he has to earn that robot by digging it out himself.
Right.
You know, his dad made him do that. So
yeah.
they made some really smart choices in this script.
Yeah. And, I think they pulled it off. Really it well. Should have been the real stupid.
Yeah.
And instead it's real steel.
No.
Yeah. Except for the name. The name is the worst freaking name.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see this movie because all the merchandise, no, we're not merchandise, but the taglines and all the.
Well, it's the name of the tournament, though, right? Like, it's Real Steel is the tournament slash league.
That was stupid, too. So
it's also like it's serving a double purpose, right? Because, like, in order to succeed in some things, you need to have real steel. You need to be a really strong person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get the double meaning. It just felt like if they didn't put any more effort into the title, how's this movie going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I read those taglines to you, right? You heard my taglines, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I heard
them. Yep. Yeah. Make it real. Yeah, right.
Make it real.
If you got one shot. Okay, 2011, they're featuring that one shot song by Eminem mixed in with a 50 Cent song and a bunch of other stuff. It's pretty cool mixes, but one of the taglines in a 2011 movie, this one shot came out in like 2003, is the tagline, if you've got one shot, make it real. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No.
So got they one do, shot, man. Do not miss your chance to go.
Yeah. I was like, get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
Knock once in a lifetime. Yo.
Yep. Yeah. Mom spaghetti.
Champions aren't born, they're made.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. Standard real Slim Shady, Mom spaghetti, all that.
Mom spaghetti. In the robot is broke now.
Yeah, there you have it. By the way,
spaghetti
also,
robot.
You get some bonus points for using a Crystal Method song. Anytime anybody pulls one from the Vegas album, I get stoked because I love that album. So they did use that when they went to the Bing Stadium. Oh, I don't know if you guys noticed. I have some voice work from him later, but dude from
I forgot we had clips.
Oh, you guys hungry? I'm hungry. Great cooking with HelloFresh is what I want. HelloFresh offers 25 recipes. More than that, actually. 25 plus, let's call it. Featuring a range of flavors, cuisines, and ingredients, so you'll never get bored. So you get to try something new every week. And more extras than ever before means HelloFresh's selection of delicious add-ons is getting bigger and better every week. Featuring quick breakfasts and lunches, protein savory sides, and crave-worthy desserts. Oh, I'm craving it now. I don't even know what I'm looking at yet. HelloFresh delivers fresh, high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients so you can make meals that are delicious and nutritious right away. So, if you want something that offers a convenient, contact-free delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking, then look no further than HelloFresh. Recipes are easy to follow and quick to make, and they delivered these pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is, you know, a burden on the planet. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to customize your orders every week. So you can add extra proteins and sides, change up the serving sizes when you have guests, that sort of thing. Or just double up on your favorite recipes so your box works harder for you. All right. Go to HelloFresh.com/FilmSack12 and use the code FilmSack12 for 12 free meals. That is just crazy. That includes free shipping, by the way. It's amazing stuff. I love everything they make. I don't even really have a favorite. So be like me and find out why. Go to HelloFresh.com/FilmSack12 and use the code FilmSack12, that's the number 12, for 12 free meals that includes free shipping. Also want to thank our good friends at ExpressVPN. Yeah, that's right. ExpressVPN is here to make you a more private citizen. A few years ago, private citizens were largely that. Private. Well, what changed? The internet did. Think about everything you've ever browsed, searched for, bought, watched, tweeted, whatever. It's all saved. It's all collated and collected and dug through and aggregated. So third parties can have this permanent record, your record. They get to sell your stuff without your permission. In an era when everyone's online, I don't know, everyone's kind of a public figure. So this is why I go to ExpressVPN. There's hundreds of data brokers out there, and they all want to buy and sell your data. Worst part is they don't even have to tell you about it. ExpressVPN lets me have a connection that gets routed through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. So every time I turn on ExpressVPN, I'm given a random IP address shared by other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it way more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. I really like it because it's simple and easy to use. You will too. So if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/filmsack and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/filmsack. Go to expressvpn.com/filmsack and learn more. Dude, oh, we should do clips. In fact, you know what? Let's do clips.
I've completely forgotten.
I'm doing them now. Let's do them now.
Sound like you're about to say something about
it. I know, wait.
I was, but I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Don't you worry. He's right here in these clips, so I'll just get to it then. Let's start with this one. The judge from Seinfeld.
We're supposed to go to Italy this summer with my oldest friend and his wife. 2 months in Tuscany and all over.
James Redhorn.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Marvin.
I didn't know he died. That bugs me. Maybe I did know that. Let's see. You something money.
You sold me for 50 grand. You owe me half.
I don't have it. I spent the money on a robot. It's gone.
It's gone, see?
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's not here anymore, see? All right, here's some Japanese from the kid.
Apokato Nikai.
Okay, that's great.
I don't like Hugh Jackman. Not like just talk like a normal person. Like we, I know he spent like 20 years trying to bury an
former
Australian
boxer,
accent.
Hustler.
Just use you what just about let your it, natural, let it loose, natural okay. accent.
All right. Is that guy? That guy can do stuff. Here's
well, his natural accent is Australian, so I don't
exactly.
Know
just
that.
Use that. No, just use it. It's
all right.
fine.
Okay. All right. Here is the Falcon talking.
A bot who ran with the big boys in the WRB.
B.
World Robot.
Yeah.
Brothers, what was the B for? World Robot Bouts.
Bouts.
Battles.
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 Battle. Battles?
Boxing?
Boxing.
Boxing.
Boxing. Boxing, sure.
Of course, boxing.
Probably boxing.
I forget this is a boxing sometimes because they do have kind of like boxing gloves on. They're not really boxing gloves. They kind of look like boxing gloves.
I always think he said RBI, which is runs batted in.
Best run That's batted not, in, yeah,
yeah. It doesn't work. All right, here's C and HA.
Cocky and half-assed.
All right, that's good. Cocky and half-assed.
Well, which is it?
That's the new buddy cop film coming.
Right, cocky and...
I'm convinced that... Hugh Jackman was called for a day for ADR work, and he said, sorry, mate, working on a new other thing. Making Wolverine. Can't come in.
Get the blob to do it.
Because here's what he sounds like when they did ADR, and I swear to you, this is not him.
Ah, yeah. That's before your time. That's a generation one.
That doesn't sound like Hugh Jackman at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Really, yeah, it really doesn't. Kind of.
So I think they had a stand-in for that stuff when they were in the rain. I could be wrong. What do you do with your pants when they're little?
The places that would let you fight this robot would make you pee your little pants.
Pee your little pants.
your little pants. I like that guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's
little
great.
Pants.
He's yeah. great.
As the leader of the zoo or whatever his name was.
Yeah, he was great. Although that was Hugh Jackman with the pants, but yes.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. That was him saying
that's
right.
early
See?
On. It doesn't sound like there either.
I know. Maybe he just doesn't sound like himself. I don't know. All right. This is interesting. I got an email from someone claiming, I can't prove this, someone claimed to be Brian's girlfriend from prom.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Usually I get these from your parents, but for whatever reason, this one came from, she called herself Ibbitt's GF, so I'll just assume this is true. And this is what she says about you after your prom day. This is a recorded reaction at the time, so here you go.
Lean, tough.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, my high school days. Jeez. Totally different man.
Lean and tough.
Lean. Oh. Tough.
Yeah.
Solid. No. She was just telling me to lean.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then
so what? I could lean in and
yeah.
As I kissed her, you know.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
I like my beef lean and tough. All right. Let's move on to this. You're a bad bet. He tells his pal or he kept calling him. Anthony Mackie used a different like dude, man or brother yeah, all the time homie. In the same sentence. Yeah. So here's that.
And as much as I like you, dude, you're a bad bet, brother.
Dude, brother.
Mm-hmm. Two in the same sentence is weird.
Yeah, it's
Anthony
weird.
Anthony Mackie almost doing a Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Brother.
All right, here's the hamburger thing again.
I told you I hate hamburgers.
All right.
Hamburgers.
Well, it's like for emphasis, he's extending it.
Right. Yep.
I agree.
It was before we started doing that. I hate hamburgers.
Like Jocelyn. I'm a huge fan of that.
What's wrong with your hamburger hate?
No kidding. I want a hamburger now. I may get one today. Yeah, all right, here's a stupid chant.
Let's get it out! Let's get it out!
it on like ping pong in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, yep.
Yeah. That's stupid. Gosh dang it, that's stupid. All right, her accent sucks.
You're 15 minutes away from getting in the ring with Twin Cities.
I don't know, man. I still say it sounds
real.
Fake.
It's real, though. It's real to me.
It sounds so fake to me. I can't figure it out. All right, the kid yelled something I can't make out, so let's do translation time. Here you go. What did he say?
Oh, jeez. Oh.
Any ideas?
Cowabunga? Was he like a turtle
scene? I don't know what he was doing. He was yelling at one of the early matches.
I wish you'd captured that a lot longer, because in context, I understood it totally.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't. I couldn't. I had to back up and record it. I couldn't understand it.
I may have actually had closed captioning on, so I understood it because it was translated for me.
Oh, I should have done that. Yeah. I always forget to do that. You guys are smart. We can do that. All right. This is too loud, I wrote.
Anywhere you name it, we will be there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Anywhere you name it, we will be there. So it is translatable.
Yeah, you can get there if you just do the work.
And you don't need to say anytime, anywhere, any place, because the anywhere and any place, a little bit redundant. Pick one.
Agreed. Oh, you're going to love this redundant thing I got coming up. I got some good redundancy. Before that, though, some porn placement.
Welcome, everyone, to New York's Bing Arena and the real...
Yeah, go in there and do some searching, get some porn.
I hope you're sitting in our safe search off section. Yep. Safe search off.
Yep. All right, here's the dude. Oh, okay, so here he is. Dude in the back seat in Pulp Fiction. He's Hermes on Futurama, Lamar, Samurai Jack. I forgot.
Always at Dragon Con.
What's his name? What's his name? Help me.
Lamar?
Lamar? Yeah. No, Phil Lamar. That's it.
Phil Lamar.
That's
it. Yeah.
Oh. You just said Lamar.
Yeah, so Lamar. And then I said Phil because you weren't getting it.
So. Oh, so, because I wasn't getting it. Right. You were giving it to me piece by piece, and I just wasn't getting it. Well, here's him doing his thing.
Well, Herb, if you ask Tak Machito, Team Zeus has lost their mind.
Fry, we need to leave.
All right, that's a terrible accent.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck to sound clips back. How the hell did they know to name it Bing Arena?
Because Microsoft paid to have their name used and put Xbox 720 up on the wall.
Bing was a Microsoft name in 2011?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah,
Bing's been around forever. Bing history. Hold on.
And it wasn't even called Bing. It wasn't like Virgin American Spectrum Ring Arena Bing Ding-Along.
Oh, no, this is a fictional place.
Yeah, the place is fictional, for sure.
I'm blown away.
Bing itself has been around for a bit. I'm trying to find Microsoft Bing. Here we go. Bing was launched in 2009. So they were actually in the thick of trying to promote that thing by 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2009, the year we started this show, Bing launched.
You should get that on your web TV.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh yeah. It's rare that you see a movie like, and it actually works out. Like that could actually be the name of an arena in 2020. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's
just weird.
It was unveiled by then CEO Steve Ballmer, 28th of May.
They could have named it after literally dozens of Google products, and it wouldn't have made sense into actual 2020.
No, I agree.
But there's so many things that could have gone belly up.
Plus, because they cancel everything. So call it Stadia, and a good chance in 2 years won't be there anymore.
Welcome to Google Wave Arena.
Oh, Lord. Can you imagine Google Wave as the arena name? That's amazing. All right. Welcome to the Bigs, Junior.
Welcome to the Bigs, Junior.
Okay. He's great.
Junior.
All right. This laugh from Bean Fork is pretty great. Here you go.
Partner. That's pretty good.
And that is pretty good.
This made me laugh out loud.
How about 100K deep? Is that funny?
Is that funny? 100K deep. You going to let me place this bet for 100K deep? That guy, I mean, he went nuts with that accent, and I appreciate it.
He did commit to the bet. I'll give him that.
Yep. This is how you scoot around copyright.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for...
close to ready to rumble just this much. Yeah, you have to pay somebody.
Yeah,
nice work. All right,
gotta
here
pay
it
Michael
is
buffer
here it is Ibbit. This is the worst writing. It's super redundant and totally dumb. Right. Twice in a row in the same sentence. Here you go.
Metal smashing metal, steel smashing steel. This is a brawl.
All right, steel smashing or metal smashing metal.
Metal smashing metal and steel smashing steel.
Steel being a metal. So that, I don't know what they're thinking there. A composite metal. But then
I failed chemistry.
And then the final line is, this is a brawl. Dude, it's boxing. It's the definition of a brawl. Dumbasses. Hate that writing. All right. I miss this sound. I don't get that much anymore.
A crowd.
Yeah. Just a big crowd. Like just the sheer volume that represents, or even a positive, cheery version of that, like a BlizzCon noise or whatever, just where they just it just shakes the room to hear that many people in unison. I miss that. Can't believe I miss it, but I do, because I don't like crowds. Anyway, there you go. Those are your clips for today. And that leads us directly into this mess here. Whoops, I'm in the wrong place. Okay, right here. It's the Film Sack Checklist. The only charming actors left in Hollywood are from Australia. Check. I really like the Tron score lady. Check.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was cool.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only saw her twice, but she was sorry.
Like Soriyama was the thing I thought of.
Oh, yeah.
The artist Soriyama.
Isn't that a computer lady, right? Am I thinking of something wrong?
The artist Soriyama, who did a lot of robot looking ladies that look just like that.
Oh, okay. It's not what I was thinking. I was thinking of, there's a performing Japanese like stage thing that's like a hologram projection that's super popular. They sell out.
I don't know of any of these things that you people are talking about.
I think we played a song on TMS once.
That's it. I'm pulling up Bing.
I could be wrong. Yeah, look up Bing.
Pull up Bing. Yeah.
Bing Stadium. All right. And finally, it's 2020. Let's get an Xbox 720. Now, what's funny about that is they were right about the launch year. They got that right.
Right.
They just didn't name it 720 because that's 720. Dumb.
And they could have. Microsoft should have called it the 720, and then they would have had the 1080, and then they could have just kept going and going. The Xbox 1440. I'm down.
The problem is it gets associated with those numbers get associated with resolution, and I think that's why they left it. Like if the 720 literally could be taken as 720p, and that's low, based the Xbox One was a fully capable of running 1080p at 60 frames per second. Anything lower than that looked weird. And so now to have a brand new one with 1080p in a 4K world, that just sounds bad.
You know what, Microsoft? You need to let Apple teach you how to number things. Just go numbers. Xbox One should be followed by Xbox Two. How is this so hard?
It's just just do the Sony way. That's exactly right. Apple has its moments of screw, though. Like where they've got stuff with iPads where there was a generation or two there where you're like, which one is which? They're all called iPad. Right. This one's called the new iPad. What does that
don't
mean?
Use new, right? Like new Super Mario Brothers. No, because after a while it's going to be old.
Yeah, yeah, it's
freaking
dumb.
New kids on the block.
Yeah. Right.
That was a real stupid era. All right, let's move on to connections. I got to think that dead guy was in Star Trek, right? Wasn't he?
James Rebhorn?
Yeah, Rebhorn. Was he in Star Trek? Did that happen?
It feels like it should, but I don't think so.
All right, well, then what were our connections, I guess?
I have two Star Trek connections.
Okay.
Let's start with Tom Morello. He had a walk-on part in Star Trek Insurrection. He's actually one of the aliens kind of standing around.
You're talking about guitarist Tom Morello? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Tom Morello, yeah. He also had a starring role as crewman Mitchell in the Star Trek Voyager episode Good Shepherd. We don't see him in Real Steel, but we hear him. He wrote and performed two tracks for the film. Those are called The Midas Touch and One Man Army. Wow. While we're talking about musicians, I have to call out all three Beastie Boys because they're credited here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All three. They're credited here. If you look through the credits, they're all listed separately. They're credited here, and they're also credited in all of the Star Trek reboot movies.
Sabotage.
Right, and because they just kept using that song. J.J. Abrams must love that song for some reason. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the 2009 Star Trek reboot is about a young Jim Kirk who's an orphan and can't get adults to believe in him.
Yep. And then that Sabotage starts in that song. Same thing. Adam Yauch, rest in peace. He died, right? I'm not remembering that wrong.
Yes, okay. He is one of the Beastie Boys, and he is dead.
Yeah, that's sad. Mike D was kind of a puss. Anyway, what am I doing here?
Let's hey!
No, he's fine. He's fine. I'm teasing. I like them all. Whatever, man. The album, Paul's Boutique, greatest rap album I own. I love that album.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the Star Trek grade, or soundtrack grade. I give it an LTN for Like the Natural. All the licensed songs were fine, but the actual score seemed very, like, I don't know.
Didn't like the Danny Elfman score?
No, I liked
there,
it.
Didn't?
I liked it.
Okay.
It was good. It just reminded me of that kind of, like, hit the ball into the lights, win the game.
Yeah.
Change the world.
And it just reminded me of How to Train Your Dragon, but, like, not quite as good. not quite that level.
Also, just now hearing that was Elfman, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like Danny Elfman. He's he's
all right.
He's not only a lad anymore. All right, moving on. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Real Steel, a realistic depiction of what happens when you unexpectedly get invited to a fancy party and everyone there is kind of quiet and this one woman offers you a lot of money, but your kid is there and you can't take her up on it. Just like a Saturday night at Ivett's house. Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. That led right.
Yeah.
It was almost lubed up and ready to go. All right. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
Real Steel, like finding a $5 movie from 2011 in the bargain bin at Walmart. I'll give you $3. No, $2.50. I'll take it. Now that's a real steal.
I forgot about those irritating little kids at the beginning. They were
Director's kids.
Yeah, all of them.
Well, I was wondering, one of them was Jennifer Grey's
daughter. I was looking. I didn't see her listed at all. I looked up her. The actress.
That's what I did too.
Stella Grey, I think.
The little one. That's the actress.
And she was not listed. So if she was in there, it was uncredited.
If you see the promotional stuff, you'll see that they're. Pictures of all three of them together.
I mean, it explains why they would be there. But,
sure. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
But I don't guess so. Maybe not. Maybe they just got some free tickets and they're like, hey, I'm Jennifer Grey. Let's go see this movie.
Yeah. We didn't really say it, but I just want to give some props to the movie for good CGI. Holds up.
It all looks really good. Very competent.
Yeah. There were times I forgot I was looking at CGI robots. Mm-hmm.
And the standing still stuff was actually real.
They had some puppetry going on.
Right. But, some real stuff.
But like when that thing tackled the bull, that was badass.
What? That was shitty. CG?
Yeah. It looked great. Hate to bring it to you. Totally CG. All right. What? Finally, Brian Ibbett.
This is going to be my shortest one. Why 280 characters when I only need 12? Mm. Real Steel. Tropidope.
Tropidope.
Nice. Perfect. I see what you did. I see what you did. You combined some boxing.
Combine rope-a-dope, which is the art of letting a boxer run out of steam and then taking him out with trope, you see.
Yeah, like a movie full of tropes.
There were a lot of tropes.
Ah, it's perfect. It's perfect. You've baked a cake. We're eating it. All right. Moving on to these emails. We get a lot of emails here on the show. I want to, by the way, just give a quick special thanks. I did a little math over the week, and turns out FilmSack, by a fair order of magnitude, gets more emails than any other show we do. Yeah.
Because we get so much shit wrong.
I guess so.
Yeah, right. Yes. I feel like it's my job to inspire people to argue and complain.
Sure. Most of them, and I have to say, most of them are just awesome. You guys are just great. So here's one, filmsack@gmail.com is where these come. We got one from Old Man Burns, who says, I was sitting in the office waiting to get my COVID shot, and I shouted, Ricochet. I was listening to FilmSack and I heard you talk about John Lithgow and didn't know of any movie that he was so crazy in, so I started yelling Ricochet at the top of my lungs. I had my earbuds in, so I didn't so nobody knew that I was listening to something, and I forgot I was in a public place. Love the show, Old Man Burns. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. By the way, I love that when you pronounce the emphasis on Old Man Burns, it sounds like something you need to have looked at as Old Man Burns.
Old Man Burns.
Yeah. Ooh, he's got some Old Man Burns on there.
Yeah, or he's Old Man Burns. Yeah,
right.
I don't know why I did it the other way, but get those looked at. All right, Pete wrote in too and said, just discovered your show and love it. I love when we hear from new people. Been listening to the back catalog, to every movie I've seen, which sadly is way too many of these. On the cliffhanger episode, you mentioned that you didn't know that Michael Rooker was in Mallrats. At the end of the episode, you brought up Claire Forlani. She was my main girl in Mallrats, and Rooker played her father. a bald business owner who hates the Mallrats. I thought it was a great coincidence that Claire Forlani just randomly came up in your conversation, says Pete. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Always something to talk about. See, that's why we get so many of these emails. So thanks for the correction and the letting us know. And also for that other Ricochet thing, because that's hilarious. And I hope he didn't get in trouble for that, because, you know, public. They're not so easy on people yelling Ricochet for no reason.
No.
Anyway, filmsack@gmail.com is where you want to send those emails. Keep them coming. We love them. And our next film will be Amazon Prime's own. Well, they don't own it, but it's on there. Space Truckers.
Yeah.
Space Truckers. This feels like primordial film sack business. I don't even know what it is.
Never yeah, I think it. I saw this like on Showtime or HBO or something back in the day. I had no clue what it was.
1996. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1996. Got some Dennis Hopper in there.
Yeah. Charles Dance. So you got
George Wendt. Norm is in it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. George Wendt. Who? Oh, Stephen Dorff.
Debbie Mazar.
Oh, right. I know her. She's cool. Do we know Ian Beadle or Tim Lone? This
we will next week.
Casting's weird. They have that in a weird order. Maybe it's by name. I don't know.
Or appearance. I think it's by appearance.
Oh, yeah. In order of appearance. Yeah. Sure.
Sandra Dickinson plays Bitchin' Betty. Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So Space Truckers. A space trucker and his cute fiance are on their way from a space station to Earth with an unknown cargo when space pirates hijack them. 5,000 disintegrator robots are found in the cargo. A whole bunch of robots. Oh, shit.
You can't spoil this.
Oh, disintegrator. They spelled it wrong in the description. Yeah. Well, that's perfect.
The reason we're watching this movie is because of the name. This is clearly a movie that was named before anything else, before a word was written on a script.
Yeah.
This was the name of this movie. And it's like, you know, like somebody just plays Mad Lib sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Undersea robot fighting. That's going to be the name of our movie.
Yeah.
Now we have to figure out what it's about.
Yeah.
Like, if you finish that project, I might watch it.
Sure.
See, Space Truckers, it titillizes the imagination. I'm like, yeah, I would see that title and go, I'm watching Space Truckers. But if it was sitting next to Real Steel, I'd go, I'm definitely going to watch Space Truckers.
Did you just say
titillize? Yeah, titillizes. You think he meant
titillize. Like titillate and tantalize come together.
Something to like titillizes. That. Something
where
like
can
that.
I get that's some my of tag, that?
That's my tagline today.
28 down, Brian. 28 down. 28
down, titillizes. Yeah. Excellent.
There you go. I just shared the poster with you guys and everyone at home. I dare you to go look at it. It's for Space Truckers, and it is the most mid-90s ass art treatment I've ever seen.
Look at that.
That like,
that's actually not the original cover art, I think, though. That's like...
Is it?
Is that like the 20? That's like the 25th anniversary Blu-ray or something.
That is garbage.
Yeah, that's actually good.
It looks
good.
Like I'm looking at the Firelands. Is what I'm looking at.
There. Yeah, we could probably find another one, but yeah, the ship itself looks a lot like the Yamato from Star Blazers, which is a weird thing I've been watching lately. So anyway, we'll get into it. That's next week here on FilmSack. It's on Prime. So if you want to watch along, do your homework. It's available to you now on Amazon Prime Video. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Hey, a reminder, filmsack.com is our website. Yes, you know it. You love it, so go find it. It's filmsack.com. If there's a movie you think we have done or haven't done and want to find out more, go to quicksack.ly. It's also linked on our main page, but that'll tell you what we've seen before, and you can search by name and numbers and all that stuff. Oh, that one. That cover's even worse, Brian. Holy shit.
I love that one. I'm just saying, if this movie was called Beyond the Sky or, you know, up to the Stars or something, I would have never cared. We wouldn't be watching it.
Yeah,
right. It's the name.
It's the name. Yeah. It's always in the name. So anyway, we're on Twitter, FilmSack. FilmSack@gmail.com is our email address. Give us reviews wherever you get your podcasts, and that's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Uppercut.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.